Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Rick James actually had a pretty cool catalog before Super Freak and all that came out. And, you know, he's in a new dimension, wherever it is, rocking and rolling. Same with Tina Marie, unfortunately. But it's Woman Crush Wednesday. Anything you want to hear from your favorite female artist or band, send your request. Applause for text line at 410-583-1057. Trying to track down to Matt Wyrick from the Baltimore Sun to talk about the Orioles. As we wait, let's get out to the phones. People still venting, frustrated. You got to be in accepting mode that the Ravens season has come to an end, but it is what it is. Let's go to Clayton and Owings Mills. Clayton, thanks for holding. What's happening?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're good.
Hey, I only have one statement to make, and then I have a question for you guys. First statement is this. The Ravens lost the game because of turnovers. Lamar turned the ball over. That led to a touchdown, 7 points. Andrews turned the ball over. That led to a field goal. It's 10 points. If it wasn't for those turnovers, our offense would have still been out on the field. The Bills went and got those 10 points. The Ravens win the game clearly by at least two scores. Just plain math. Second of all, I don't have a problem with the play calling. I don't have a problem with John Harbaugh. What I have a problem with is, and this is a question, because it seems like Lamar does this deep in the playoffs. He stops running the ball. He is like what he did with the Steelers game, and you look at the game, so his whole time being here with the Ravens, when he runs the ball, it seems like it settles down him, it settles down the offense, and it demoralizes the defense he's running against. What he did with the Steelers game, pretty much it should have been the same blueprint just going forward. Run the ball. It settles down the offense, and it demoralizes the defense, and I believe that that would have even opened up more for the offense, and man, the Ravens might have won that game by three scores or more. So that's my question. It seemed like he forgets to run the ball, and it should be something innately he should do. He should need a designed run to come from Monken. I listen for y'all guys to come.
All right, Clayton, thanks for the call. And look, Lamar on a Sunday night against the Buffalo Bills did not have a quintessential Lamar running game. Only carried it six times for 39 yards. Second half of last year's divisional game against Houston, he was running all over the Texans because that game was tied. And he put his Superman cape on and helped them blow out Houston when it was all said and done. Against San Francisco in the AFC, or Kansas City in the AFC Championship game, maybe his knee was hurt, maybe it wasn't. I mean, that kind of has become the narrative a year after the fact that he wasn't 100%. That's why he didn't run there. This year against Buffalo, Nolan, did you see opportunities for him to hit the road? Because we have seen all season long, he will improvise, wait, and then make the touchdown a likely, which almost tied the game. He could have taken off as the clock's ticking. He waited for an opportunity, made a throw. His guy threw over 40 touchdown passes this year. To your point, caller, yeah, I've watched games like everybody else where it's like, dude, why aren't you running? Run, run, run. I don't recall Sunday being one of those games.
Well, I was kind of waiting for him to make those executive decisions on his own when we're running the zone reads. Early on, he's handed off to Henry, and the defense was crashing down on Henry. Kind of like the Steelers were. They
right.
said, we're not going to let this guy beat us. It's going to have to be somebody else. And I thought, oh, okay, this will be kind of like the Steelers game where keep setting it up, keep setting it up, and then, all right, Lamar will bust them in the second half. And they never really got to it. Now, they were much better in the second half throwing the ball, just moving it in general, so it didn't really matter there. But I saw maybe early on some more opportunities for him to pull it. I mean, he finished with six carries for 39 yards. Probably could have had a little more. I will say this, Justice Hill and what he gave you, the 50 yards he gave you on six carries, that helped supplement the run game enough where I don't think that it was super detrimental that Lamar didn't carry it.
Right. Are you buying the Derrick Henry needed the ball more than 16 times talk? Outside of that drive when they got inside the red zone, had to kick a field goal. Buffalo did a really good job neutralizing him, but what's Henry's MO? The more carries, the more lathered up he gets, and you know, the more you pay, and we saw that more in the second half. But outside of that one drive where he should have got it three times, where he got it once, I thought it was they were going with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
The flow turned out to be, you know, negative to them in the end, but the turnovers we also heard that was huge. But Henry, 16 carries, yay or nay?
No, and he would have had a ton more. I mean, if Andrews doesn't fumble that ball, they're cooking into the red zone there. I'm going to guess that Derrick Henry's getting a few touches there. And if they get down inside the five, are they going to make the same mistake twice? Well, I would hope not. I imagine he'd get an opportunity there. So there, he could have had, you know, 23 to 25 carries in this game if they executed that go-ahead drive like they were supposed to. Then, hey, your defense gets a stop. Now you're protecting a lead. Even more incentive to give the ball to Derrick Henry. And how many times have we seen him close a game this year? So I think the game plan was fine. 100% execution.
All right, here's a tidbit coming out of one winning drive. As right now, John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta are talking to the media. Jeff Zrebeck tweeting this out. Harbaugh said that he has spoken to Mark Andrews. Mark is one of the very best football players, one of the most committed football players. Nobody cares more about the success of this football team than Mark Andrews. Mark is said he's taking it hard, as you would expect. Huge part of our future. We're there for him. If anyone can take tough circumstances and handle it with class and grace and dignity and mental toughness, it's Mark Andrews. Eric DaCosta said he spoke with Mark Andrews, but is going to keep the nature of that conversation private.
Yeah, no surprises there. They weren't going to come out and throw him under the bus today. That would have been the last thing I expected for John Harbaugh to sit there and say, yeah, man, this guy cost us the game and then just disappeared. Screw this guy.
But should he have spoken to the media? And look, I'm sure we'll mention a few million more times before we get to kickoff 2025. I think he should have, understanding how he felt and knowing what he was going to say. Now, Pete come out and go, hey, and money on the Bills. Screw you. Peace out. You know, that would have been a stunning turn of events. But we all needed him to show his pain to the rest of the world or man up. I mean, Lamar gets up there and talks when, you know, he doesn't play his best. And John Harbaugh has to talk about every single loss.
Mm-hmm.
Should Andrews at some point just have addressed the media, whether it was for a minute, 10 minutes, whatever it was. I feel horrible. It stinks. And, you know, I don't know if I can ever get over this, sort of thing.
No, I mean, Monday, especially, like I was saying earlier, you know, right after the game ends and that finality sets in that, all right, this is our season. And oh my God, I'm the major reason that this whole team is going home and we're going to have a sad flight home. Yeah, that really stings. I mean, I probably wouldn't be able to sleep for weeks after that happened. So the dust will settle eventually. Time will move on. Right now, it's kind of hard to see the forest through the trees a little bit. You know, you're so wrapped up in it. But I think I said earlier that, you know, a couple months go by, he'll probably be like, man, probably should have talked. And
right, because he's going to have to answer these questions eventually. Why not just get out of the way in the immediate instead of waiting to mini camp or whenever the next time Mark Andrews talks with the masses here?
And it'll be awkward then, because the mood at that point when the team reconvenes for the start of next season is going to be all about the future. Nobody's going to want to talk about the loss to the Bills.
Oh, they will.
Well, you're going to have to. But it was the same theme early this year. All of the questions when the players were showing up, Chiefs lost. What are you doing? It's like, oh my God, we just got here. We got to hear about this again.
Keep it real. Next time Mark Andrews talks to the media, in between, he could commandeer a hijacked plane, single-handedly disarm hijackers, land planes safely, and save lives of 200 people. The first question is going to be like, So what the hell happened against Buffalo? It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. It's the whip around what happened in the world of sports last night. And historically, we'll get into that. And Damon Evans, athletic director, University of Maryland. What's happening down at College Park? Well, the portal for Loxley, the interview with the Jets, that's kind of going into the quiet stage as they've narrowed their choices for potential head coach. And I don't think I've seen Mike Loxley's name on it, but Maryland men and women's basketball. Maryland women got spanked the other night by Texas, but the Maryland men looking for a win, especially a road win. We'll talk to Damon about that and more here on The Fan.
Vinny and Haney's Whip. Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County. 105.7 The Fan.
Woman Crush Wednesday, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. Vinny's out at one winning drive where John Harbaugh, Eric DaCosta, as we speak, are speaking to the media, which by extension is you. And we'll have all that coming your way as the show rolls on. But let's talk about what happened in the world of sports last night. Ichiro Suzuki, CeCe Sabathia, Billy Wagner voted into the Baseball Hall of Fame going to Cooperstown, and I guess I'm cool with all three of them. Ichiro did not get 100% of the vote. One person did not vote for him. Why? Don't know. Still waiting to find out who it was and why that decision was made. So we'll get into all of that and more. Well, we were going to talk to Matt Weirich. I guess his phone number, I don't know. We call the wrong number. 411, maybe. Information.
Phone was off, I think.
Matt Weirich, I guess. Who knows? Anywho, if you got a problem with that, and I do, I get it. There's layers of Hall of Fame. I mean, even Reggie Jackson himself, who is a worthy Hall of Famer, said, I'm a Hall of Famer, but not a Willie Mays-level Hall of Famer. But sooner or later, you get in. But no position player has ever been voted in with 100% of the vote, which to me is incredible.
And, of course, the one person that didn't vote for him has not revealed themselves, which, I'm not saying that solves anything, but at least explain your rationale. Can probably predict what it was. It was what you just said.
And if Joe Blow didn't get in,
you feel this stupid obligation to uphold what people did decades and decades ago, a mistake that they made decades and decades ago when all these great legendary players, I mean, you can go on and on and on listing all the players. You've done it. That certainly deserved to be 100% first ballot.
Yeah, every player but Mariano Rivera, none of them in the Hall of Fame got 100% of them. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying Mariano doesn't deserve it.
No.
But others do, yeah.
Sure. Very greatest closer of all time. Clutch closer. Except for giving up that game when he hit in Game 7 against the Diamondbacks in 2001. Apparently gets lost in the sauce over there. But anyway, Sabathia gets in. And then Billy Wagner eventually last year on the ballot. Dave Parker, Dick Allen also got in the Veterans Committee. And I grew up old enough to remember, well, Dick Allen was towards Richie Allen towards the end of his career, but Dave Parker was a stud. And he was, and this is my criteria, he was the best player in baseball for about 3 years. And if you've got Eddie Murray was that in the American League in the early 80s. If you're that guy, you better be in the Hall of Fame. And it took Dave Parker a while to get in, but he finally did. When you're the best player in your sport for any period of time, certainly multiple years, you're a Hall of Famer. And the Cobra was that guy.
With the World Series to back it up? I mean, there's nothing missing on
batting
the resume.
Batting titles, MVP, 5 gold gloves, multiple All-Stars, beat the Orioles at 79, actually caught Eddie Murray's fly ball in Game 7. Man, got me running hot. Now I got no reason to even be mad about baseball yet, but I'm mad about baseball. College hoops, Terps in Illinois tomorrow, 9 o'clock tip. You can hear it on The Fan. Maryland 14-5, 4-4. Jerry Palm, who we had on yesterday, CBSSports.com, has Maryland on the first four out list, but he had Nebraska in. I'm splitting hairs, but Joe Lunardi's got Maryland in doing their thing.
A lot of work to do. It's got to start tomorrow.
They need quad one wins.
Yes, and let's finally get over the road hump. I mean, this can't be what defines the Willard era. I'm going to get sick of it so fast. If after every road loss, we got to sit here and say, well, he's now 5-21, 5-22 sure. In road games. I mean, it's just going to get nauseating at a certain point. So get over the hump.
Illinois, by the way, ranked number 17, 13-5, 5-3 in the league. Now, last night in the Big Ten, men, a couple of things that may have helped Maryland. Ohio State, for instance, who Maryland destroyed. Beat Purdue at Purdue, 73-70. Purdue ranked number 11. Oregon beat Washington, number 15, Ducks. Maryland should have beat both of these teams, lost to both. Woulda, coulda, shoulda. I get you 82-71. How about UCLA, who Maryland beat handily, pulling away late, 85-83 over number 18, Wisconsin. So there you go. A little assistance. And hey, Minnesota beat Iowa, 72-67. Top 25 last night. There was a couple of upsets. Texas beat number 22, Missouri, 61-53. And Arizona State beat number 23, West Virginia, 65-57. In the NBA last night, Lakers blow out the Wiz like everybody does, 111-88. LeBron James, triple-double, 21-10-13. Bob Carrington, Baltimore zone, 3 points, 4 boards, 2 assists, 2 steals. Portland beat Miami, 116-107. DeAndre Ayton at 22-15. Haywood Highsmith, Baltimore zone, played 4 minutes, didn't scratch, but still getting some PT there. Toronto, 109-93 over Orlando. Scotty Barnes, 17-11-8 for the Raptors. Emmanuel Quickley is hurt, so he didn't play last night. He's been banged up all season. By the way, the Wizards have lost 11 in a row. 1-18 on the road. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. It's the Whip Around. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. Vinny's out of One Wing Drive. He'll be back in about an hour or so. Want to bet a buck he walks in while the mics are hot?
I want to keep my dollar.
Yeah,
so
you want to keep your dollar? I'll wait till the break. He'll just come storming in at some inside stuff there, Broadcasting 101. But anyway, NHL last night, Capitals up in Edmonton taking on the Oilers, and it was all about Washington and a guy with 3 names.
Second ever time facing the Oilers. Backhand chance off the post. Rebound. Score! A layup for Washington's Dubois.
Pierre-Luc Dubois. Not Janice Dubois from Good Times or sang the theme to the Jeffersons. It was Pierre-Luc Dubois. Capitals win 3-2 over the Oilers. Washington, incredibly, 32-10-5 on the year. One of the best teams in the NHL. They're at Seattle tomorrow night taking on the Kraken, 21-24-3. This day in sports history, a couple of things for you. How about we start Maryland basketball, 3 of them for you. 1994, Cole Fieldhouse, 25th ranked Maryland, beat NC State, 102-70. Joe Smith, freshman of the year, 24-13, x-ray hip at 17. Dwayne Simpkins, now head coach, American U, McDonald's All-American out of DeMatha at 16. Year to the day later in Raleigh, same NC State, number 8 ranked Maryland, 84-67. Joe Smith, National Player of the Year, 26-9. X-Man at 16, Dwayne at 14. 2000, 25 years ago, get the bleep out of here. Cole Fieldhouse, 24th ranked Maryland, beat Clemson, 74-62. Juan Dixon, Baltimore, 18 points. Danny Miller, McDonald's All-American out of New Jersey at 15. Taj Holden, friend of the show, he had 12. Super Bowl 23 took place on this date, 1989. San Francisco beat Cincinnati. Jerry Rice was the MVP. Joe Montana, touchdown pass to John Taylor. Closing minutes. Jerry Rice had 11 catches for 215 yards and a touchdown. National anthem, Billy Joel. By the way, Cincinnati that year, their quarterback, Boomer Esiason. University of Maryland, who was the MVP of the league in 1988. Billy Joel sang the national anthem. Halftime, the Bebop Bamboozle by the South Florida Dancers featuring Elvis Presto. So Billy Joel's national anthem, and then you go Bebop Bamboozle with Elvis Presto.
That's like the Timu version of Elvis Presto.
Right. He's like 3 feet tall. NBC on the call, Dick Enberg, Merlin Olsen. 81.5 million people watch that game. It is also the debut of the Bud Bowl, if you're old enough to remember that. Bud versus Bud Light. Bob Costas was on the call. And that was dopey. I drank both. I didn't care. You both win in the eyes of the old Bobster. And then finally, on this date, it's January 22nd, 1973. Kingston, Jamaica, one of the great calls in the history of sports.
Angie Dundee, Ali's trainer right next to me, is saying it. You may hear him. Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! He is as poised as can be. We have a minute left in this first round, and already this fight is proving out what some have expected.
Howard Cosell on the call. Down goes Frazier! First round, George Foreman TKOs, defending undefeated unified heavyweight champ Joe Frazier. Knocked him down six times in the process. So George Foreman put himself, well, he already been on the map. He won the gold medal at the 68 Olympics. He was the number one contender. But he was the underdog in that fight against Joe Frazier. And Howard Cosell, love him or hate him, and I loved him. One of the great calls in the history of sports broadcasting. We'll come back. Damon Evans, University of Maryland Athletic Director, talk about what's happening in College Park. Then a funhouse trip with old Nolan McGraw. Got news from the Nest coming up top of the hour. Got a lot of people talking. Well, two in particular. Ed Owings, Bills, John Harbaugh, Eric DaCosta. What did they say? We'll talk about that later in the show. So welcome back to the show. Damon Evans. Damon, what's happening? How you feeling on this lovely Wednesday?
All good, brother. I'm doing well. I hope you guys are.
We're hanging in there, Damon. Appreciate that one. Let's start with Kevin Willard's men's hoops. We had a coach on yesterday. Got the win against Nebraska. Got a little dicier than things seem to be, but it's a win nonetheless. Now off to the road, Illinois, Indiana. And, you know, and he talked about the inability to get one in the win column away from College Park. But as you watch this team and we see the potential and now, you know, the analytics and the bracketology people are starting to put together resumes, what is your impression of the team so far, 19 games in, and how close are they, Damon, to getting over the hump away from Xfinity and really starting to put together a strong NCAA tournament push here?
Well, I've seen some really good things from this team. When you take a look at what Jacoby Gillespie has been able to do, he's been a great addition for us. Rodney Rice has been a great addition, as well as Shelton Miguel. And Juju has played well, and our freshman DQ is playing extremely well. There's some times where we falter some. You like to see them play well all at the same time, because if that happens, and that happens on a consistent basis, this will be a tough team to deal with. So there's some really, really good things. But we've got to take care of, if you want to be a great team and you want to solidify yourself in the NCAA brackets, you got to win on the road. I hear all the stuff about how hard it is to win on the road. I get that. But you got to win on the road. We all play on the road. Every team in this conference plays the same number of road games. And so at the end of the day, we have got to win on the road. And I think once we get over the hump, then that builds some confidence and will give us momentum. We go into Illinois, and I don't want to go say that we all know it's going to be a tough place to play. We all know they're a tough team. But I want to be able to say, so are we, and that we got to be able to go in there and take care of business. We did it last year, so I believe we can do it again.
Now, in regards to the Big Ten, might not have the monster team, even though Michigan State's playing really well. Purdue lost last night to Ohio State, who Maryland thumped by 30 way back when. There isn't a monster team, say like the SEC has a bunch of them, but how deep is the league where, you know, winning on the road, yeah, you like to get it done, and certainly there are a couple of games that Maryland probably should have, but there's no layup, no pun intended, when it comes to the schedule here.
Yeah, there is no layup when it comes to the schedule here. I think there's a lot of parity within our league. I think you see a league like the SEC, which is a phenomenal league in basketball. But when you take a look at us from top to bottom, there just doesn't seem to be those games that you point to and say, okay, that's an easy win. I want to give an example. Minnesota beat Michigan. You just stated that Ohio State beat Purdue. USC goes into Illinois and beats Illinois. So these things are not easy to overcome, and we've got to figure it out, though, and we've got to navigate this conference knowing how it is. And when you look at the road wins and losses, that's where teams will separate themselves in the Big Ten.
Now, the travel aspect, Maryland went out west, lost both games, Washington, Oregon. Mick Cronin was saying how it's a disadvantage for his Bruins because, you know, Maryland goes out to UCLA, which will be next year. They're funning and sunning on the beach. UCLA's got to come freeze their you-know-whats off in College Park. Is that an excuse, reason, slash, and are you buying it if, in fact, it is?
I don't believe in excuses.
Right.
I mean, you know, you have a schedule. We all know what the schedule is. And flying from the West Coast to the East Coast, we've had sports that have been doing that for years. This is not the first time that these things have happened. I'm not going to say that there's some things that you have to adjust to and adapt to. You're flying out there on a charter plane 4 to 5 hours. You land, you get yourself together. So you make the necessary adjustments, making up excuses. We all knew what we were getting to when we expanded this conference. And so I'm just not an excuse guy. I'm not going to make up excuses. I'm not going to use travel as a reason why we're not winning. I'm not going to use the way that the schedule set up as a reason that we're not winning. There are a lot of factors that contribute when a team doesn't win. And sometimes we want to pick out the things, and I'm talking about people collectively, just sure. want to focus on certain things. But I'm not focused. I got to focus on, if it's me, how do we get better? How do we figure the situation out that is before us and prepare ourselves in the right manner to do so?
Damon Evans, Athletic Director, University of Maryland, joining us here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney with you. Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. All right, getting to college football. And last week, Damon, we talked about Coach Loxley talking with the Jets. That seems to have quieted down over the last few days. But the portal stuff, and I know you can't get into it in specifics in regards to players, looks like that could be working out for Maryland a little bit here with visitors coming to the campus. But how would you assess the offseason Maryland football? Season ended disappointingly at Penn State, but the offseason, the portal giveth, taketh away, recruiting, etc. How are we feeling about the team as we sit here on January 22nd?
Well, I like the efforts that we've made in the portal. I think that Locks and his staff have done some good things. But at the end of the day, you guys, you don't actually know until they get here. I mean, I've seen teams that have gone out and spent a lot of money in the portal that have not done very well. I've seen teams that have gone out and got really, really talented kids and have not performed well. And then on the other side, I've seen some teams go out and have great portal success. It's still about getting the right pieces and making sure that those pieces fit and work together. You got to have the strategy. You're going to have the talent, but if those pieces don't fit, and I remember Nick Saban saying on College Game Days, you can go out and spend money, but he said something to the right to the fact of you better get the right people. So what I read, things sound good. What I hear, what I see, things sound good. But the proof will be in the pudding when they get here on the campus and play together and how they fit in our system.
Playoffs ended with Ohio State winning the national championship. A lot of Big Ten, Damon, as you know, representation in the first 12-team field, including Indiana. And, you know, as a longtime Maryland season ticket holder and fan, I mean, they say, yeah, we can be Indiana. So how much does this, you know, bring hope to the prospects of, you know, this is no longer an unrealistic, air quotes, goal to play for a championship, that it's very much attainable, maybe as soon as within the next couple of seasons here?
Well, first, I want to congratulate Ohio State on their national championship. It's good to have a Big Ten member win the national championship, back-to-back years for the Big Ten, and making sure that we stake our claim in this ever-evolving world of intercollegiate athletics, especially with a sport like football. You know, I'm trying to get to a way. It's great to see what an institution like Indiana was able to accomplish. A lot of people put us in that same level of an Indiana. So I got to get away from the hope and start. We have to start believing that we can make it to a 12 team playoff. It provides a lot more opportunity to get there than a four-team format does. So it starts with believing. It starts with putting together the right strategy and having that supporting structure to carry out that strategy. And so I do like the opportunities that are ahead of us. But we half the battle is believing that you can get it done. And we've got to focus on believing we can do it and that we belong.
Damon Evans, Athletic Director, University of Maryland. All right, Damon, I know you're a busy man. What else is going on in College Park? I already saw the preseason lacrosse rankings are coming out already.
Well, yeah, you know, first I'm going to give a shout-out to Alex Clemson. I mean, our wrestling team is ranked 24th in the country, beat Michigan, then turned around and got a good victory over Wisconsin, so we're 3-0. And so he continues to do some good things, and I like where our gymnastics program, and I want to thank our fans for coming out against UCLA. We didn't get the win, but we had an unbelievable crowd, a little over 7,000 people. Obviously, there was an Olympian, Jordan Childs, there. So it's great to see that sport get the attention that it deserves. Track and field had a good showing at Penn State. And then, you know, we got spring sports commencing. As you mentioned, our men's and women's lacrosse programs are unbelievable and garner a lot of attention. But we've got baseball, softball, tennis practicing as well. So I'm looking forward to a continued success and building on basketballs, both men's and women's, and then getting our spring sports underway.
All right, Damon, Woman Crush Wednesday. What are we jamming to today?
I'm going to give you an artist that last time I shook you up a little bit. You didn't know the artist I was talking
fell
about.
Fell out of my chair.
Yeah, you know, I got to keep you on your toes now. But this one will be by Kelly Clarkson, Stronger, by Kelly Clarkson.
There you go, Damon Evans. Kelly Clarkson coming your way. Damon, appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Thank you. Talk soon.
You got it. Damon Evans, everybody. AD, University of Maryland. We'll come back, reset the program for you. Nolan McGraw is going to say hello again. News from the Nest. Top of the hour. Buy or sell 12:15. Where's the midweek money? And then Cordell Woodland, our Ravens insider, shaking it up sports. Talk about what he saw, what he heard, what he's feeling about the Ravens as, unfortunately, they did their end of season presser today. You requested. You got it. Kelly Clarkson, make her stronger. Hopefully Maryland will be stronger on the road tomorrow going to Illinois, and we'll preview that game here on The Fan. Ravens out there still talking, Nolan. We're almost an hour in. I guess they're being peppered, DaCosta and John Harbaugh, with questions there.
Coming up on 50 minutes, I've seen a few more quotes trickling out here. The one that was interesting to me was about Eddie Jackson. And, of course, you figured he was going to come up. What happened there? You know, signed him for some safety depth, and then apparently he was kind of miffed with the team, and that led to his departure. And from what I was reading, DaCosta made it sound like was led to believe that he'd have a bigger role or something. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, but I don't get that. There's no way they brought him in and said, hey, you're going to start for us. We want you to be the starting safety. That was not in the cards at any point. It was always going to be for depth.
Yeah, and he was brought in kind of. Jamal Adams visited before Eddie Jackson did, and he had the opportunity to shine in that Cleveland game, and he dropped a bunch of passes, potential interceptions as Marcus Williams hit the sidelines, and you know that was kind of a debacle for him. But and they can't please everyone. Mm-hmm. And it turned out to be, Darius Washington stepped up big. They moved Kyle Hamilton back to more of a do-your-thing safety role, which he did. Still think another safety could be part of the equation. Matter of fact, Ravens picked 27th, Jameson Hensley from ESPN a couple of days ago. Like, needs for teams at those particular spots, safety could be one of them. Because Williams is gone.
Oh, absolutely.
Ardarius is a restricted free agent. I'm guessing they'll figure out a way to keep him around. You had Bo Braid from Maryland undrafted, who you know didn't play much this season. We'll know maybe what he'll have in regards to a possible role. But safety, first-round pick, 27?
Could be. I mean, I was thinking recently that you know just with the way things are setting up, and the team's needs will be much more clear there in April when it's time for the draft, but I almost feel like the Ravens are in a position right now with where the team is at in their competitive window to start maybe deviating from their traditional strategy of taking best player available and start drafting more for need. Not saying they need to reach, but I don't know. You've seen Kansas City do that during their Super Bowl window. They start picking, at least in the first round. Mm-hmm. They use their first round pick. That's going to be an instant starter. So, yeah, draft for a position of need. I think the Ravens could do that this year.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Vinny will be joining us probably within the hour, but news from the Nest coming up next. We have time for a funhouse trip?
We'll do a few.
Quick draws, funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
We'll start with this texter who says, the best move the Ravens can make this offseason is a move that won't cost them a penny. Letting Brandon Stevens walk in free agency. Secondary instantly gets better.
Well, he is an unrestricted free agent. Had a, quite frankly, a debacle of a 2024 after it looked to be a breakout 23. Maybe another cornerback could be in the cards here. Are you, well, Nolan, I'll ask you. Diehard fan, you dress like the team on game days. Letting him walk, or are you making some sort of a team-friendly deal? Because I'm guessing he's not going to be a sought-after free agent on the open market here.
I wouldn't surprise me either if he's goes early. Some bottom feeder team just is looking at his last year, not 24, but 23, and say, oh, there's something there. We can make it work. Not here in Baltimore. I think that ship is definitely sailing.
Yeah, he just has a real hard time finding the football.
Right.
And even if you're thinking about moving him to safety, can't find the football.
Yeah, give him credit, too. Yeah. I mean, from when he came out, getting himself to where he was 2 years ago, surprised a lot of people.
Yeah, he was a running back.
Mm-hmm.
That UCLA turned into a cornerback. But, yeah, as the texter said, just getting rid of him makes him a better team. Next!
This texter here says the Lee Evans moment, much, much worse than the Mark Andrews moment because, well, a few reasons. Would have gave them the lead at the time, of course, the chance to go to the Super Bowl, not like a divisional round game here. Would have capped off also one of the greatest drives of Flacco's career as well. Cundiff, of course, was only to tie it. Andrews only to tie it. Still devastating, but Evans will always hold more weight for me.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with that. Because, as the texter said, that was the championship game. That would have won the game. And I'll say it till I go into whatever dimension I'm headed into. Defender knocked the ball out of his hands. If there's no one, like Mark Andrews dropped the pass. There was a defender there who slapped the ball. If Lee Evans was uncontested, the Ravens score a touchdown and win. So I'll give him that, and to this day I firmly believe it. And you could still make an argument, maybe, that he had 2 feet in before the ball was knocked out of his hands. Now we're really splitting hairs, though. But, yes, that was greater from a disappointment standpoint. Even though it sucked Sunday, Andrews. But they would have won that game, and they would have spanked the Giants in the Super Bowl.
Well, we're here over a decade later, and the league still doesn't know what a catch is.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, today is the anniversary of that game.
Good memories.
Yeah, that's why I didn't bring it up. Yeah.
All right, one last one. Some negativity to close things up.
Oh, come on, man.
Texter says the Ravens will not be champions with their current team.
Oh,
7 years in a row of the same crap over and over. What evidence do we have that they are nothing but perennial regular season champs?
Well, you know, they did get to the championship game last year, and they were all sorts of this, that, and the others away from winning on Sunday on the road. So it's not a team in decline. There you go. You hang your hat on that. They'll be in the playoffs again next year, barring catastrophic injuries, and then you hope the breaks go your way, right?
Well, I agree 100%. I mean, you're rolling the dice every year to give yourself the best chance to win in the postseason. The Ravens obviously don't have the success that matches their moves, but they're always there, and they're going to be there next year, barring significant injury. So making these drastic moves, whether it be coaching, a head coaching change, other personnel changes. No, I mean, run it back. I know nobody wants to hear that because you think, okay, if you keep coming up short, it would be insane to keep doing the same thing over and over. But that wasn't, I don't know, personnel wasn't their issue. So, I don't know. And let's be honest, too. You have to be lucky to win.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a little bit of revisionist history with the Ravens' last Super Bowl. They were very lucky. Extremely lucky. Ray Rice, fourth and forever, the Mile High Miracle. There's probably a ton of other moments that season. You can't discount the amount of luck that's needed to win it all. There's a lot of great teams in the history of the NFL that came up short of the Super Bowl.
And they had a quarterback that got red hot.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Flacco, of course. It's Vinny at Haney 105.7, the Fan News from the Nats. Coming up next, we'll count some dough. Hopefully 12:15, buy or sell, talk about sports subjects. And then Cordell Woodland, shaking it up sports, and our Ravens and Orioles insider talking about the end of the season, what's happening today, and all that fun stuff.